What you didn't hear from the UCP convention in Red Deer earlier this month.
The number one issue for our citizens right now in this province is that we want parents returned to their rightful position as the primary caregivers and educators of their own children, and that family is the foundation of a free society and must be protected.
On the feature this week, a conversation that discounts some of the media narrative about the resolutions that came out of that convention. In the news, lots of activity for the We Need a Law team in Ottawa last week, another win for Christians in the ongoing debate over adoption, and the Ezra Institute is expanding.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
It was a busy week for Mike Schutin and the We Need a Law team in Ottawa last week. The highlight was the annual March for Life, which started this year, as it has for the past number of years, with a Reformed and Protestant prayer service.
Around 350 people packed into First Baptist Church. We listened to Pastor Matt Kingswood. He's from RPC in Russell, which is a town just near here in Ottawa. He preached on Habakkuk and how we need to be a people of prayer. We need to humbly be praying, not only for our leaders, but also for the rights of preborn children and those who are vulnerable, specifically when it comes to euthanasia.
And then it was off to the actual march itself. Schutin says this year the march was disrupted by a relatively small group of very vocal protesters.
I think anywhere between 50 and 100 protesters. As soon as the march got going, they just crossed the road and blocked it right off. We were there close to the front of the march, and we could tell the police were anticipating this. Probably pretty late, but they quickly got in, intervened between the March for Life and the protesters, and there we sat for about 30 minutes with the protesters just screaming vulgarities at the pro-lifers and actually even screaming at the police. F the police. Just a chant going on for about a minute and a half. F the police. I couldn't believe it. After about 30 minutes, the march got rerouted to a totally different route.
We Need a Law also held a mini conference during the week, which included the installation of a flag display at the Human Rights Monument. There's some new hope for the rights of Christians to adopt children. Alberta's Ministry of Children's Services has reversed an earlier decision which rejected an adoption application by an evangelical Christian couple because of their religious beliefs, specifically their position on sexuality and gender identity. The Edmonton couple, who haven't been publicly identified, had applied for a judicial review of the rejection last year, but rather than seeing the case through the courts, the government backed away and reversed its earlier refusal of that adoption request. The Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms had taken on the case, arguing the rejection was a violation of the couple's rights. Center lawyer John Carpe says the government's move sends a clear signal that charter protections are important and that they also apply to Christians. He says while this ruling, combined with the recent Easter Bunny ruling in Ontario, both seem to spell victories for Christians in the public square, the overall climate for religious freedom is still worrisome.
The big picture, we still have a very aggressive kind of a state religion that's being pushed. When you look at the attestation in the Federal Canada Jobs Program, when you look at what three provincial law societies have done against Trinity Western University, when you look at provincial legislation in Ontario and Alberta that is very anti-family and against parental rights, the big picture is not very positive.
He says it's actually a sad situation when Christians have to go to court to affirm their basic rights. But he believes there's a reason for that.
That's a sad commentary on how Christians, by withdrawing from politics and, you know, for the most part, putting their head in the sand and saying, oh, we're going to be really spiritual and deliberately not get involved in politics, and that's going to somehow increase their holiness and, you know, make us more pleasing in God's sight, is that kind of thinking has led to people with a very anti-Christian philosophy being unopposed. And, you know, part of the solution is for Christians to roll up their sleeves and do the hard work of assuming their own responsibility as citizens.
The couple was initially approved for adoptive parent status in 2016 after several interviews with social workers, but they were ultimately rejected after more detailed questioning about their beliefs regarding sexuality. Technically, the court case is not over. The JCCF has applied for an adjournment until the couple formally adopts a child, but the case could be reactivated at any time if that doesn't happen. And finally, some good news from the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. The organization is officially moving into a new home this month. Founder, Dr. Joe Boot.
Yeah. one particular gentleman and then a few others that joined shortly thereafter ended up in a conversation with us, and it transpired pretty quickly that we were given several million dollars to acquire our own study center, and we between us identified a beautiful facility on 24 acres on the Niagara Escarpment overlooking Lake Ontario. So last summer the property was purchased, and since then we've been in the process of moving the institute, our offices and all of our work sort of lock, stock and barrel into our new center at Grimsby.
The center will also house the H. Evan Runner International Academy for Cultural Leadership, which will focus on annual education for young professionals who are involved in public policy and legal issues. There's an official grand opening for the new facility planned for May 26th. You can get more details at www.ezrainstitute.ca/events. Back with more after this.
It's May, and time for another step in the 12-Step Action Plan. In the past few months, we've attended a public event the official was at, invited them for coffee or lunch somewhere, and prepped for and attended the meeting. Now is the time to send a follow-up email or phone call to thank them for joining you for the meeting and for having an open ear to your concerns. For more about the 12-Step Action Plan and how you can be involved, go to arpacanada.ca/12steps.
On the feature this week, a different perspective on the Founding Policy Convention and AGM of the United Conservative Party of Alberta. The event was held in Red Deer on the weekend of May 4th, and you may have heard about how party leader Jason Kenney was forced to disavow a policy resolution that came forward at the convention. A resolution that would supposedly tie the party to the notion of outing children who join GSA's Gay Straight Alliance clubs. The controversy had some people rethinking their support for the UCP. But on the feature this week, I'm joined by Donna Trimble of the group Parents for Choice in Education, who has a decidedly different take on what actually happened at that convention. Donna, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
There's some confusion coming out of the UCP convention. When I read the media accounts, Jason Kenney came out and said, you know what, at the end of the day, I hold the pen that's going to write the platform for the next election, and this notion of outing kids that join GSAs is not going to be in that platform. That's how it's been interpreted. And yet, when I read some of the stuff that Parents for Choice in Education is putting out on social media and on your website, you have a considerably different perspective on what actually happened there.
Right, exactly. I want to say, first of all, that it was an incredibly successful AGM for parental choice, for family-oriented and school choice-oriented resolutions. We had a hand in assisting and penning 8 resolutions that were just fantastic. All of the resolutions that we penned passed with between 74 and 96%, and so we're just thrilled. But it is really unfortunate that there has been this incredible controversy around a resolution, Resolution 30, that hit the floor fairly early on the Sunday. We've been reassured time and time again that GSAs are only social peer support groups. Resolution 30 simply asks that sexual content and religious content remain in Section 50.1 of the School Act, which states that Alberta parents have notification and opt-out provisions for anything explicitly or primarily of sexual or religious content. Now, what Bill 24 did is it actually removes that notification and opt-out provision for extracurricular clubs. This particular resolution actually says nothing about GSAs at all. The word GSAs doesn't even come up in it. It's poorly written, yes, but the UCP members that submitted this policy were simply asking for the return of the notification and opt-out provisions for sexual content in relation to extracurricular activities in schools. That is all that this asked for. If these clubs are social peer-on-peer support clubs, we would have no problem with them whatsoever, and most citizens across the province would not. I also want to say that I was honored to be in the actual media scrum where Jason Kenney was sort of closing up the AGM for the media. And yes, did he say he has a pen? Well, he did say that, I think, once, but nobody should misconstrue that particular part of the process of running in government as Kenney or anyone in leadership claiming they will not respect the resolutions passed by their own membership. I don't think that that was what was meant by the statement, and I think it's a really unfair perspective. And this is coming from an organization that, honestly, we're nonpartisan, but we don't like dishonesty. The bottom line is, over and over and over again, he reiterated the UCP's position. The UCP will not enforce mandatory notification. And we wouldn't ask for that either, okay? The staff in schools have to have the professional capacity to engage children, especially older children, in a way that they can bring the parents in to the conversation with some nuance. So we've never stood up for mandatory notification. We feel like the local schools should be trusted to partner with parents for the benefit of kids. Secondarily, he mentioned that he saw this resolution as an attempt to bring back Section 50.1 of the School Act, notification and opt-out provisions for sexual content and religious content. He stated that more than once. And he also said that if they became the government of the day, they would make sure that local schools regained the autonomy to engage parents whenever the health and safety of students were at risk in the classroom. So all of those things would please our membership very, very much.
I want to go back to what you said earlier about a number of other resolutions that Parents for Choice in Education helped to write, which are clearly pro-family and pro-parental rights. Can you sort of recap some of those just to give us a flavor for what else was done? Because all the attention was on this one particular resolution and the mischaracterization of it, if your assessment is correct.
A number of things have been proposed in the resolutions. There's 8 of them that are just fantastic. One is, fundamentally, these resolutions affirm the family as the building block of society and the means by which citizens pass on their values and beliefs, and asks that the UC party ensure that families are protected from intrusion by government. That passed with 75%. It affirms the rights of parents to direct the education and upbringing of their children. That passed by 74%. We've asked that the UCP support a teacher's professional responsibility to communicate with parents, respecting the importance of engaging parents. That passed with 74%. One of them affirms the family as the basic unit of society, entitled to protection by society and the state to ensure that parents have the right and responsibility to oversee not just the education, but the health care of their children. That one passed with 85%. One even asks for the protection of authentic school choice by respecting the freedom of association in independent schools and alternative programs, by allowing them to determine their own policies and practices based on each school's unique character, values, and beliefs. That's a huge one. And that passed with an approval in that room of 90%. We want to ensure the protection and well-being of children alongside full respect for parental rights, freedoms, and authority. That's another one of our proposals. And it passed with 94%. So I am really wanting people to feel engaged and energized and want to be involved in politics, because all of the actual fantastic proposals that passed, and ours were not the only ones, made it very, very clear to the UCP party and to every party in the province that was paying attention that the number one issue for our citizens right now in this province is that we want parents returned to their rightful position as the primary caregivers and educators of their own children, and that family is the foundation of a free society and must be protected. So please don't let media mischaracterization turn you off. This was actually a really fantastic success, and we set an example in Alberta of what can happen when the grassroots show up at one of these AGMs and get involved.
Donna, thanks very much. Love your enthusiasm.
Oh, thank you so much for giving us an opportunity, and I really mean it. Everybody, you know, don't be turned off. Get involved.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.